joining us now. Always a pleasure to bring this next gentleman on. Second time on the program, I believe, but we're very grateful he has time for us. State Representative Alan Treadway is on the line. Representative, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Jeff.
Big day yesterday, obviously pretty chaotic. But we got this, you got this anti-rioting bill, through, I guess the big hurdle in the House, getting it, the floor debate and then ultimately the vote, which went through pretty easily, but it wasn't without some shots being fired at you. Kind of talk about that process, if you would.
Yeah, it was, I expected it, but, you know, obviously along party lines, I don't, for the life of me, understand why folks would argue about a bill that stiffens penalties for individuals that are going to, loot, set fires to buildings and assault public safety officers. I will say this, though, you know, there was some concerns with the bill from some Democrats, and we sat out, we worked on it. The bill went to subcommittee, and then it had to go back to judiciary, address a lot of those issues, and you know, certainly wanted to make sure that folks' First Amendment rights were protected. I think this bill does that. It goes a long way. There was some compromise on some definitions and things like that that I thought were very helpful. But at the end of the day, we had to have some additional laws on the books to address these more serious crimes and what we're seeing that we've never seen, and that's these individuals swooping in the town from out of state, hell-bent on destruction, planting incendiary devices, sledgehammers, bricks and things like that. We didn't have laws on the books that were sufficient enough to address that. We didn't even. So right now, if you're caught funding that, we can find out who's funding and putting those things into a city prior to a peaceful protest. Then, you know, we've got some tools in the box that we can go after these folks.
So now we have correct me if I'm wrong, a definition of what a riot is. I guess it's one of those things that we just automatically in our head know, we know it when you see it or whatever, but from a legal standpoint, I guess you need a technical definition.
You know, yeah, the biggest issue, be honest with you, was with the existing definition that was on the books. So everybody's sitting down and dealing with the attorneys there at the State House with the Legislative Service Agency. I think we came up with some legislation that's being used in some other states, and I think Texas is one of them. I wasn't against that. There's a lot of concern what tumultuous behavior was and how do you define that. But at the end of the day, when these type things break down into a mob-type riot, when you're arrested, we're going to be able to hold you. I did compromise from a 48-hour hold to a 24-hour. That gives law enforcement and firefighters time to put out fires and to get a situation under control before folks are bonded out, rejoining the fight. And stiffer penalties, the mandatory minimums, time to serve. You get out here, we created about four or five different new categories of crime. One would be the assault of a public, safety officer in the first degree, second degree, blocking an interstate. There was a compromise there. It was a felony at first, and it is it's a misdemeanor on your first offense, and all subsequent offenses are felonies, with the exception on the first offense, if you create damage or an injury to anybody, it will be a felony. We've got to have these interstates open. We've got to get people, including protesters, to the hospital when those things happen. We've got to protect folks up there. It's very dangerous. You just can't shut down our highways and interstates. We create a category of aggravated riot. If you're going to participate in a riot that causes any injury to anybody or any damage, there's a mandatory 30 days in jail on that. Depending on the injury, obviously, it could be ratcheted up. So these are the things that we put in there. I compromised on the defunding police. It's still in the bill. You deliberately defund the police department, dismantle them with no plan to bringing it back. It's still in there, and you'll lose state dollars on that. But we did. We excluded all those little cities with 20 officers or less. So that takes care of some issues the League of Municipalities had. So there was a lot of back and forth. But at the end of the day, we created five new categories of crime here, and with minimum mandatory times to serve. And I think everybody would agree that if you're hell bent on destruction and looting a business, setting it on fire or deliberately injuring a police officer or a medic or because we're seeing that, you know, folks are coming in trying to take care of folks that are hurt. And these, and there's individuals that are embedded in these type protests that are assaulting these individuals, and they can't do their job. They're putting nails on the end of umbrellas. So when if you're using a horse, they're stabbing the horse in the chest. We've seen that. So we didn't have enough laws to address all this. And this is what's going on. And I, you know, but I will say I'm a big supporter of First Amendment. I've worked 31 years in a civil rights capital world in Birmingham, and I've been on the front lines of many type protests, but we're not seeing what we're seeing now. Folks are coming in hijacking these causes, and they are. They're planning it, they're organizing it, and they're funding it. So I think I'm happy with the way the bill came out. It's out of the House. It now goes to the Senate. I'll go before the Senate committee on it at some point, and we'll move from there.
This blocking roads, blocking interstate highways, that's been something that I guess you've seen it more in Birmingham the last couple of years. I think a lot of these protests after the incident at Galleria and Hoover a couple of years ago where they would block highways, the protesters would, and that seems like something that's that you would just think was already on the books or was already some kind of law that would have some kind of a legal implication for those that use that way as a means of protesting.
Yes, and there was laws on the books, but they were not sufficient. They didn't have mandatory time to serve. They were this one now moves up to a Class A misdemeanor with mandatory time to serve, and they didn't have holding. You know, police officers, when this happens, we're many times outnumbered. We get in a situation where you start arresting folks. As is the case in Birmingham, an individual sitting there with all the cash, because these were cash bonds. So as soon as you're processed in, you're bonded out with cash, and you're right back into the fight. So we had to address that. If you're going to get out there and you're going to shut down an interstate and put lives in danger, we've got to have the tools, number one, to keep you in for at least 24 hours. Number two, convicted, you're going to serve a minimum 30 days in jail. Number three, if subsequent arrest on that will turn into felonies. We're very serious about this. Public safety needs to be able to do their job. Peaceful protest, yes. It breaks down into mob riots and destruction and injuries, no. And that's what the bill does. I'm listening to a lot of this criticism coming from the left on some of these comments from some of these folks, and that this somehow is going to keep people from protesting. No, it's not. There's nothing in this bill that keeps you from protesting. But if it breaks down, you're hell-bent on destruction or assaulting or injuring folks, we're going to ratchet it up. That's what the bill does. It's really simple, straightforward.
It sounds to me like you kind of watch what's going on around the country, and you're, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like you're trying to learn from kind of, I don't know, the mistakes or what would the insufficiency or vulnerabilities in other places where you had bigger problems with rioting and with looting, and you don't want that happening here in Alabama. So the idea here is to let's put in some preventive measures. Let's put in things in places to give the criminal justice system more tools to, rather than just whatever exists on the books, like you were saying. Like the perfect example is blocking an interstate highway. It comes with a slap on the wrist that we needed to ratchet that up.
Absolutely. It's dangerous for the protesters. It's dangerous for public safety. And it's dangerous for you and I or one of our loved ones that's been in an accident or had a stroke or a heart attack. And you can't get them to a hospital. We just have to draw the lines on some of this. You know, I've shared with you what happened in Birmingham the night before. Folks came in and planted sledgehammers, and they planted incendiary devices, gasoline, and bricks. Now, somebody was organizing this ahead of time. Somebody is funding it, and this is what's happening. So, like you said, you look around the country, and you look at what's happened right here, and you then look at the laws that are on the books, and they're just not sufficient for what we're seeing that we've never seen before. I'm a bit surprised there's not enough people that are denouncing that. This is a fact. This is what happened. And I don't understand why there's not a louder outcry from folks that are in opposition to this about what has actually taken place. This is actually what's going on. And we're having a chilling impact on law enforcement. You know, the profession seems to have been the punching bag of politicians now going on about 8-9 years, demonizing the department. I mean, the profession, painting it with a broad brush every time somebody steps out of line. Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of violent encounters that law enforcement have every year that are resolved peacefully, you never hear about it. Well, folks don't want the job no more. Just call around. It's hard to recruit and retain police officers. Those who are in the profession, many are looking to leave it, and those who are continue to stay in the profession are not doing any of the proactive policing that is vitally important to keeping crime down. So they're going from call to call, and they're afraid that they're not going to be protected if there's a mistake made, that they're going to be fired. And it's having a chilling impact. And one only has to look across the country, and right here in Alabama, violent crime and murders are up. And in some parts of the country, they're way up. And I hate to sit here and predict that that's going to continue until we start giving law enforcement the tools and the support they need. And, you know, this about when there's a tragedy that happens, when a law enforcement officer is involved, hey, let's deal with it. And we do deal with it. Let's have better training. Let's hold people accountable. It says, Assistant Chief in Birmingham, we fired a number of them in my last year, and we sent a number of them for training and also discipline. And we keep track of that. But we cannot have somebody use an incident to paint a broad brush with the whole profession, and that's what's happening. And I'm telling you, sitting here now after 31 years in law enforcement, what I'm hearing and seeing, it's a chilling effect it's having on law enforcement. And folks are dying, okay? So we need to be focusing more on any given weekend where a city like Chicago has a couple dozen shot and several murdered every single weekend. And I don't know where it's at down in South Alabama. I can tell you up in Birmingham, we're at a quarter of a century high on homicides. These type of things, we need to be sitting down talking about why so many young lives are being lost. And supporting law enforcement officer and hold those accountable where we need to, but understanding, and I believe most folks do, it's just the politicians and certain activists that want to just bang a profession until it's not effective anymore. And all of us are going to pay.
Joined by State Representative Alan Treadway here on the program. Were you surprised at the pushback you got? You mentioned an encounter with your colleague Mary Moore yesterday. Referring to you as a racist and a white supremacist, and then there's the pushback that this was some kind of pro Trump thing. I mean, it was just whatever worked or whatever the line of reasoning. Was pushed out there to oppose this bill. Were you surprised by that?
You know, not really. It seems that we're living in a time that if you don't agree with somebody and you're white, you're a racist. And that exchange, I wish would not have happened. I've been on the House floor for several hours, and Representative Moore was at the mic, and the kids back at home were blowing my phone up, and I didn't know what was going on. So I looked at it a couple of times, and she seemed to be upset with that and wanted me to show her respect. And my comment was, you know, if you want respect, then every time I pass you in the hallway or you pass the media, don't call me a racist. Don't call me a white supremacist. I worked 31 years in the civil rights capital world, and I've built great relationships with a very diverse group of folks, and I've served and protected folks in Birmingham, and not one time in 31 years have I been called that. But when you disagree today, that's, I guess, a way to shut you up or to attempt to shut you up is to call you a racist or a white supremacist. I don't buy it. In 16 years of serving with representatives, I have never once disrespected her and have always been nothing but cordial, polite. So, unfortunately, it shouldn't happen on the House floor, and I apologize for that, but it did happen. But that type of attacks is not going to sway me from what I believe is a good piece of legislation that not only protects public safety, but it protects citizens and it protects protesters. It's a good piece of legislation, but when it breaks down, my question to anybody, when you start looting, burning, and assaulting folks, including public safety, then at that time, this kicks in. And it's going to be a little bit more severe than it's been in the past, and it's going to add some areas, some tools in the toolbox law enforcement did not have in the past.
And we'll wrap it up on this, Representative, before I let you go. Now it heads to the Senate. You mentioned that you'll be speaking before one of the committees there. What is the outlook? What happens next?
Well, I certainly believe that this piece of legislation, once I explain it to the committee and it gets upstairs, Senator Shelnut will be carrying the bill in the Senate. I would hope it will get a favorable report. I believe it will get a favorable report, and I believe it will hit the Senate floor and pass before the year's out. That's my hope. But I've been here long enough to know that you can have a good piece of legislation and have the vote, but as it gets closer to the end of the session, then it becomes a priority of other bills and budgets and all of that, and it could get caught in a bottleneck and not get out. So my hope is it will, and I'm hoping to have it before I'll be calling the leadership later this afternoon and making those requests to try to get the bill up as soon as we can.
We'll certainly keep an eye on it. Representative, we appreciate you making time for us this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was State Representative Alan Treadway on the program.